Now, you've worked in this role closely with 5 different music directors, and I would love to hear one memory of each. I know it's hard. I'm sure it's hard to pick, but let's start with the one who was there when you first arrived. That's Sir Andrew Davis.
Yeah, and you gave such a beautiful tribute here to Andrew Davis on this program so many years ago, and I know his family was so appreciative of that. And I think we had wonderful conversations about Andrew Davis at that time. But one thing that has been consistent with Andrew Davis and of all memories one has of him, and there's some very funny ones, of course, he does absolutely love music. I mean, the music was his heart and soul, whether it be Tippett or Vaughan Williams, or not just the British ones, Richard Strauss, etc. My memory of him, which is a little more personal, is that he loves nature. When he was in Toronto, he had a cottage in Georgian Bay, which after rehearsals, he would drive up there after concerts. He also was a great fisherman, so he loved fishing when we went on that northern tour to the Northwest Territories. Also, you know, the ferry that goes over to Billy Bishop Airport, even after they built the tunnel, he took the ferry. He loved the ferry. But once we were on a tour, it was part of the Far North tour. We were in 4 buses, and we were quite a far north, I think at North Bay, maybe Thunder Bay, way up there. And all of a sudden, we were all in the bus, everybody's a little quiet, and Andrew Davis says, "Stop! Stop the bus!" and the driver, and I can't remember who was in the front bus, said, "Okay, we'll stop the bus. The maestro wants to stop the bus." I mean, we had our normal nature breaks, but this was crazy. Stop the bus. So the buses pull over. He gets out of the bus, and he goes running into the woods. And there is a whole field of grand puffballs, the mushroom, the fungus, a puffball. They're round. They look like a huge snowball.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So Andrew says, "We've got to pick these because they're completely ripe and they're ready for the eating." And so this was on tour.
Okay.
So about 4 or 5 members of the orchestra came out and carried them all back onto the bus. And Andrew, later that night, cooked for the entire orchestra these beautiful grand puffballs.
Wow.
You'll have to look them up because they really are big round. They look like snowballs. And so that's my great memory of Andrew. It's so odd. There's many others, of course, because I was able to travel with him to so many incredible concerts, even to Bayreuth and Glyndebourne and all of that. But the nature one is big because that's Andrew.
That's a great story. One memory of Günther Herbig.
Yeah, Günther, he was such a thoughtful, thoughtful human being. He spent a lot of time reading and just looking at scores. I especially remember his Bruckner. His Bruckner is incredible. And you probably know that when we did the Maestros gathering just a while back, Herbig came. He still lives just outside of Detroit. And he came, I think he was 90 at the time. It was his repertoire and the way he conducted that orchestra that was very, very special and unique, and dynamic range like no one else could get from the orchestra. Amazing. But I remember his Bruckner 6, and we took it on tour to Europe, and it was a very successful tour. But what I remembered about the Bruckner 6 was after the Bruckner 6, we always had to go find ice cream because Günther Herbig loved ice cream. that's my Günther Herbig story. It's Bruckner 6 and ice cream. And a wonderful, wonderful human being who just conducted his last concert only under a year ago in Asia.
Jukka-Pekka Saraste.
Yeah, I mean, all of these gentlemen, I got to do my planning meetings because a lot of them happen in the summer. I would get to go to where they were. You know, I'd be with Andrew Davis and Glyndebourne or Günther Herbig in this beautiful place outside of Detroit. Jukka-Pekka would always be on an island in Helsinki. Everybody had cottages in Finland. While we were planning, we were basically thinking about Girl Eater because it was leading up to his last year, and he was going to do Girl Eater to finish his tenure as the music director. And best laid plans. We had great meetings. We were casting. We were doing all of this. And when we came back to Toronto and we started laying out the Girl Eater, we realized that there was no place for Ben Heppner because the stage was so, like, there was so big orchestra, and, you know, it was quite a big cast, too, because they had to come on and off. Anyway, we decided to build almost like a half moon extension that came out from the podium, if you can picture it. Mm-hmm. So the apron of the stage with a half moon. And that half moon was for Ben Heppner and a couple of the other protagonists in the Girl Eater. So my memory of Yucca-Pekka was the look on his face when the crew finished building this, you know, this
little peninsula.
Moon, and he was just so excited because he wasn't the biggest of the talker of all of our music directors. The Finns have a bit of a reputation for that. But I can tell you, it's a great memory of Yucca-Pekka, who still comes back and has brought us such wonderful repertoire that we wouldn't necessarily have done because of his homeland. Yeah.
Peter Ungen.
Well, Peter, yeah, I mean, he's got to be the funniest guy in the world. He's got an incredible sense of humor. And you know that his cousin is Eric Idle.
Right.
Yeah. So because of his sense of humor, he also was very, very creative. So he, of course, brought us the New Creations Festival and all of that. But he did also like to do things that were pretty out there that would just bring joy to people through there being things that might not be as conventional. So he and his cousin collaborated, and it was our very first year of Luminato. And so we commissioned an oratorio called Not the Messiah. And it was with Eric Idle, a couple of people from Monty Python, and Peter Ungen. And my greatest memory of him was when it comes to the part in the oratorio when Eric pulls out his guitar and Peter starts singing, "Always look on the brightest side of life, boo-doo, 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 boo-doo." And this is our music director singing from the front of the stage in this wonderful oratorio. But he brought us that and so much more, but so much joy and happiness. And I think that really drew the audience as well.
Gustavo Gimeno.
Yes, well, Gustavo, my memory of him, and it's quite vivid, is the very first week he came here to Toronto. And he just fell in love with our city. And I'm a Torontonian, so I just love it when people love our city. Of course, he did the concerts, got to know the orchestra, and very, very open and just wanting to, his eyes wide open, just wanting to see everything that Toronto had to offer, but also with the orchestra too. So very inquisitive and ran beautiful rehearsals. But he would go walking all the time after rehearsals. He'd walk at breaks or afterwards. He loved taking photographs. And I don't know whether you've seen any of his photographs on his Instagram. He's a beautiful photographer. Anyway, my real memory of him was when he was walking around his hotel and around the hall and seeing him discover this beautiful sculpture by Jamie Plenza, Spanish. It's called Dreaming, and it's just north of Richmond, I think it is. And just the fact that he was able to connect with that in his first week. And I think it was part of what made him feel at home here, besides all the other things we talked about early that we hope our musicians feel at home here. So, and I'm looking forward to really watching the orchestra grow under Gustavo. And he was so, so proud and so excited to take his orchestra to Spain. So many memories there too. But I like the initial memory because it really was a kickoff to the real depth of relationship that he's built here and is building.